I've never seen Frank get as excited as I did at CAP. There are pictures of him doing a breakdance with some of the other people that were there. It's all been documented. It's on film. And so we can prove it. This morning, as I got up, I was working in my office on my computer. And, of course, Frank goes from one room to the other on his knees. And so my wife says, "Is Frank up?" And I says, "Oh, yes, he went by here praying." And from there to the bathroom and then back again. I'm going to give him some time to have him give you his testimony. And possibly we might even give you an opportunity afterwards to ask some questions. From here, he goes to Mississippi, and from there to the Arkansas Youth Camp. His summer is absolutely full of areas of ministry. And so be praying for Frank as he ministers to young people as well as to adults. And so I'm going to give him some time this morning to speak to us. And therefore, Franklin D. Jones.
Thank you, Pastor Miller. Is everybody awake? You sound like it. How many were at camp? Well, I already knew that. You know how? By your eyes. You got those toothpicks in them. They'll hold them up. Right? The eyelids. Everybody that was at camp, stand up. Boy, that's a good. I think almost the whole church is there. Okay, sit down. It's my turn. Is everybody awake?
Yes.
Now this time I want you to say, "Praise the Lord." Is everybody awake?
Praise the Lord.
Man, you guys are really dead. Okay, we're going to do it one more time, okay? Now I'm going to go one, two, three, and you say, "Praise the Lord." Ready? With everything you got. Okay? Ready? Sure? Huh? Ready? One, two, four. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Finally, we got the life in here. I thought we were going to conduct the funeral for a little while. You know, I look like I just come out of battle, right? I did. I'm still in. Gary Horton, when I put a suit and tie on, he always says, "Frank, you look like a Baptist." He said, "Frank, you look good enough to be laid out." And then he looks around and says, "Where's the extension cord?" Those of you that were not at camp, you won't understand the last part. But those of you that were, you didn't. But it's an honor, it's a privilege to be here with you today to serve my God, my Father, my Lord. When I speak At first, a lot of people have difficulty in understanding what I say. But I guarantee you, if you will take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, to listen very closely, it will get easier and easier to please take that time. I've asked Pastor Miller to read the scripture that I'm going to be using for, not because I cannot read, but as you can already tell, my mouth does not work as quick as my brain. So I don't want to take up the whole 30 minutes just reading through the scripture. So, Pastor Joe.
The text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. Where it says, "For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, so that no one may credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me." Verse 7, "And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself." Verse 8. "Concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." Verse 9. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses than that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" Let me read that again. "I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong."
Let's put that down and then wait.
Frank told me, he said, "It doesn't matter where you put this because I'm going to move around all over the place anyway."
Yeah. Let's have a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, Father in heaven, we come to you just thanking you for all you did this week and the chance that we had. But Father God, right now we just ask you that let hearts be open to what you would have to say to them. Father, just let the words that come out of my mouth be yours and not mine. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to serve you. Be with us. Let us have ears to hear. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Some of you young people are already going to know some of what I'm going to say. Some of you don't know it. But still listen very closely. Because Gary's point, which I work with as often as we can, him and I both, we have separate schedules, but we work together as much as we can. He's always kicking my behind, and I'm always kicking his. So we get pretty sure what the lot. Okay, Cindy. We're not a kid, though, so we had to I had to get it in there. They always rewrite it great. But anyway, Paul is going into he's had a great experience years ago, about 13 years before. He said in earlier that he didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. It didn't matter, but what he saw, the things he heard, were so overwhelming. They were so great. They made such an impact in his life that he could have went out and told people all over about this. But he didn't. He kept it quiet until now. Until here Paul was. He said, what of a value is not to exalt myself? It's not to build up myself. But I want you to see this, and I want to tell you about this. So that you may make it to the end of your race. A lot of our problems, a lot of our difficulties, we bring upon ourselves. But this was one that Paul didn't bring upon himself. Rather, was given to him a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. Now, when I went to college, I think we spent about 4 to 5, 6 weeks just talking about what Paul's thorn in the flesh. But when we got to the real important part of this text, we covered it in the day. You know what they did? They lost. They lost the whole meaning of this text. They just blew the whole purpose right past. Everybody's always trying to figure out what Paul's going in front was. So there was I, because it was his experience of devotion to the mass. Because we got others to say it was boiled. We got others to say it wasn't any type of physical thing, but it was a spiritual thing. I know you all. Frankly, I don't care what it was. What's important is whatever it was, it could have stopped Paul from doing what God had called him to do. It could have stopped him. And here we read that Paul cries out three times. He doesn't get real mythical. I wish he just take the thing away. You know what, Harry? Might be good. No, he cried out, Father God, please take it away. Take it away. You don't want to take it away. He cried out a second time with such an agony. Father God, please take it away. So you know what they say, those times of John. They cried out to those, oh please, please, I can't take it. I can't stand this. Take it away, please. Take it away. And it was at that point Paul was spoken to. God said to Christ, My grace is sufficient. Believe. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my power is perfected in the weakness. Here also it says that, okay, you will look at the right word again. And starting up at the top in the Mongolian bottom, it says, for power is perfected. Power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly I shall do that the most in my weakness is the power of Christ. Now listen, that the power of Christ
Nathan to well. Me. You know, in dwell is a military term. In dwell means to dig in. To dig in there makes you a foxhole and stay there. Paul was indwelt. By the Holy Spirit. Christ lived within him. See, it's until we realize how weak we really are, and we let that which is within us take over. That's when you become strong. See, Paul realized, hey, I can't do this. He was given this growing flesh to realize he could make it on his own. You know, you guys, you work so hard at building yourself up. You go out, work out, work out, work in, whichever way. You know, I tell the young people, they got a dumbbell hidden under the bed. Every morning before they go to school, they take out that dumbbell and they work out. They work out, they work out, and they get those muscles just sticking out there like crazy. Get them all pumped up. And then they go to school and they be, oh, yeah, I'm cool, I'm bad, yeah. See that bar is that way? And the girls are looking and they go, who's that in the brain? Look at that. Yeah, he's a hunk, all right. But I won't say a hunk a lot. And then some of you girls, you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror. And you look and you say, God, but I just think you made mistakes. Some girls cannot leave their house, or even they gotta have the bathroom right by the bedroom so they can kind of sneak through. So nobody sees them before they get all their makeup on. Get their hot air all mixed up and all colored. Look at all what they think is beautiful. Right, girl? But here, this is not what we are on the outside, but what we are on the inside. It's your attitude. Let me say, well, what do you mean by attitude? Well, in Proverbs 23:7, So I was 23 seconds in just for adding them seconds in himself. So adding them seconds in himself. Now that's from the inside. We're talking about on the inside. As you think of yourself, so is he. We are not what you think you are. You are not what you think you are. But you are what you think. You are not what you think you are, but you are what you think. You know, if you go around putting everybody else down, looking at their thoughts and their things and their lives that are not right, you know what you're really doing? You're trying to cover up your own. Let me tell you a little bit about how this works. Before, when I was 60 years old, I was so full of bitterness and hatred. I went around and I acted so cool, so bad. I can remember getting into so many fights, and I carried a switchblade in one boot and the Derringer in the other, a gun. And I used that knife several times. I pulled that gun on somebody once and I was ready to shoot him. But everybody was that was, I thought when I was playing, they told me, no, Frank, don't, please, don't. And the guy would stay in there, he thought he was gone. I was so bitter, so angry inside, because of the way I was. And I used to think I was so cool with the chick. I could pick up the chick like he was with it. Now the young lady back then threw chicks. And I thought I was so cool and so bad. You know, I had it all together. And that was what I displayed on the outside, but on the inside, I was so full of hatred, I was so full of bitterness, I was so mad at the whole world, but most of all, I was so mad at God. I cried out number one, God, why me? You did this for me. Look at me, God. Look at the way I am. And I hate you. I hate everybody. I hated everybody and everything around. See, you is inward. Your attitude is what's inside of you, and eventually it will come out. It will be displayed. I don't care how much makeup you put on, how much you work out, or anything. The way you think it will come out. And one day it came out of me. It came out of me to the point where I took an electrical cord and I put it around my neck and I tried to kill myself. I wanted to die. I wanted to make everybody pay. I wanted to make God pay by watching me do this. But as you can see, I didn't succeed. Or either you're looking at the ghost. I was ready to quit. I was ready to quit. I would have been in hell now. Still trying to give you this same message. You know, a lot of people think that people in hell are too busy worrying about themselves. But it doesn't make that Luke 16. We got a rich man in Nazareth. They both died. Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man went to hell. And it says at the end of that chapter that the rich man was crying out to Abraham to send Lazarus that his five brothers would not come to this place. People in hell, if you're not a believer, they're crying out to you, Don't come here, because it's not what you think. It's pretty bad when people in hell can't more by the unbelievers than we do. Pretty sad. But then a college group came to my high school a couple weeks afterwards. And a young lady came to me and told me about Christ. What he had done for her and what he could do for me. And that day, I believed that Christ came, lived upon this earth, was tortured, beaten, battered, and then hung on a cross. Shed his blood to wash my sin away. But then he rose up from that grave and he said, "Behold, I go to prepare a place." safe with you. That day that I believed that Christ gave me a new love. He gave me a love, a hope, and a joy. From that day forth, I can say, I can honestly say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Not because of who or what I am, because of the one that indwells me. Because of the one that came into my life and took it over. Gave me a reason to live, a reason to go back to John. We get to heaven. We're gonna have a foot race, and I'm gonna win, you know. You know, as I travel all over the United States, I hear people say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I can't become a believer. I can't be a witness from my Lord, my God. I can't. I can't. You can't because you don't want to be. The Bible says, for many are called, but few are chosen. You know why you were chosen? Because you made that choice. You made that choice. We are all called. We are all called to be living, walking, talking. Testimony for our Lord and Savior. We are to live that life that others might see the power of Christ within us. A lot of you have a lot of excuses. Aren't you fat? I'm just kidding. Aren't you old? Aren't you young? I'm too weak. Oh, I gotta go to work every day. I don't have time. I gotta go to the football game. Yeah. You sit in that football game, stuffing a hot dog down your face. But you don't have drunk with Christ. To be that example. I'm not against football games and all this stuff, but I am against you using that for an excuse. For not living your life for Christ. After all God has done for us, after all He has given us, and then He gave His only Son. Which if we read on in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, verse 4, how Christ had to become weak himself. himself. He became weak upon this earth that Christ, that God power might give him to it. You see, it's not what we are, but it's who is within us. Where is the source of our strength? As I heard travel all over the nation, I heard every excuse there is. It wasn't long ago I had a lady come up to me and she said, "Frank, what you do is so tremendous." Man, I just wish I could just do a little bit of what you do. She said, "But I don't have the money." I said, "What? Would you say that again?" She said, "I don't have the money." I said, "Are you crazy, man? What do you think I am, a millionaire or something?" I said, "I'm lucky to buy it." Well, I can't say that. I said, "I don't have the money either." But I know what he does. I know the one who does. And he owns the cattle on a thousand acres. He owns everything there is in this world. And he will provide everywhere he wants me to go. He will provide a way if he wants me to go there. All I have to do is be willing to go. Be prepared to be willing to go. I got a briefcase that I carry, if you can think it up. The other day, an old grinder and a new driver picked me up at the airport. They picked up my clothes bag, my little argentine bag with all of those pills that Pastor was up for. They're mostly vitamins. Don't think of a drug either. I support myself by carrying all the drugs and demons. No. Then they picked up the weak. "Man, what have you got in here?" Well, what's in there is what God has prepared for you to hear through me. See, it's not our ability. It's not our ability to count. It's our availability. Are you available to the Lord? Philippians 4:13, it says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." I can do all things which strengthens me. Now, did it say Philippians 4:13? Look at it. If you don't believe it, look at it. Don't take my word for it, because you know, I need to read college. At least that's what some people think. doesn't say I can do a few things? Huh? Does it? Does it say I can do something? Well, speak up. Are you looking at it? Does it say I can do a lot of things? What does it say? I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengthens me. Right now, I want you to take a good look at me. Take a real good look at me. Look at the way I am. Look at yourself. You've got two good legs. You've got two good arms. And you can speak well. If Christ can use my life, why can't he use yours? If Christ can take somebody like me, and change my life, take a bad situation, turn it into good. Why can't he do it with you? Right now is your opportunity. This is your grand opportunity. Do any one of you have a better excuse than I? For not letting your life be used by God. Come on, this is your chance. If you have a better excuse than I have, let's hear it right now. Right now, God. This is your chance. Come on. What's the matter? No takers? Now listen very, very, very close. I, Franklin D. Jones, I do not have a good excuse. But not letting God use mine. I can be a pastor of a church. I can take it easy and sit back and just study all day every day. But that's not what God called me to do. If you pray to get your brother up and get moving, you get on those dear friends. And I'm going to take you all over this United States and some outside the U.S. But get your butt up, you're going. I'm going to end with the story. Is it okay? Now, I would go ahead and you already tell that. And one day I went to a youth conference and got this friend. He's in ministry in an honorable version, but there's an older spirit. Frank, I want you to give a testimony in front of him. This is only 2 months after I became a believer. But I'm going to give a test. At that time, you can only get one or two words of everything I said. I'd be talking to people, they go, yes, yes, yes. I say, you stupid, they go, yes, yes, yes. And the Lord just says, Christ, I want you to give it to me. Are you crazy, man? Do you think I am a fool? I'll get up there and they won't understand a word I say. So forget. So like Moses in Exodus 3, I kept making up excuses. Finally, I thought I'd make it there. I said, God, come here. I want you to see this. If you got glass, I want you to put it on. Because I want you to see this. This was up at the Capitol building. And there was only about 900 teenagers there. And I said, God, you see those things that you gotta walk up to get to that mic? Those are what you call steps. Those are stairs. You ever saw those before? That's what they look like. Well, God, no. I don't want you to miss this up. You see these things, these are rails. See what they look like? These are what they call wheels. God, in case you didn't know, wheels and steps, they don't go together. They don't go together. So let's forgive it. About that time, this great, big, humongous guy walks over and looks down at me. Said, Frank. I go, yeah. He said, if you give a testimony, I'll carry you up the steps. You know what? There when you look at a guy like that, you can't say no. If you weren't done, they wouldn't have to bury you. You'd already be 6 foot under the ground. That day, that man, what I thought was a man, it wasn't a queer, there's a word. He picked me up, carried me up those steps. That means him at the top step, handed me the mic. I began to tell what God had done in my heart. And I'll never forget. There was a hotel across the street. Windows began to fly open. People sticking their heads out. They had nothing to do with the youth conference. But they wanted to see what was going on over there. But that day, 4 people out of that hotel became believers. That day, they understood every word I said. Every sentence. When I get up to speak like this, people usually understand. I'm very every word I say. But that man carried me back down the stairs. That man in the wheelchair, I turned away for just a second. When I turned back, he was gone. This guy was at least 6'4". There was no way he could have been locked in that crowd. And I asked everybody, did they know who he was, where he come from, what his name was, everything. Nobody knew anything about him. I didn't understand it that day. But as I began to grow in the Lord, as I think back, I know that that was no earthly man. The Bible said that we entertain angels unaware. And God knew what it would take to get me to do His will. I ask you again, what's your excuse? What's your excuse? There's people out there that are hurting so bad. There's some in here that are hurting so bad inside because they just won't let go of the sound. They won't let God take over. You won't use his doors or streets. You want to hang on to yours. And you look at me and say you can't. I can't even say I can't. I can't. If I were trying to do it on my own strength, I could say that I can't. Because I truly can. There's a lot of people out there that need to see Jesus. And you, may be the only Jesus they'll ever see. Let's roll the song. Listen to this song very closely.